I love the colorful clothes you wear, and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up
Well, hello, I'm Solazar, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation. Now, quantum physics tells us that we are all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We are your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is also the promoter and producer of the Rhoda Psychic Fair, coming to the Monterey Fairgrounds October 21st and 22nd. Visit rhodapsychicfair.com to find out more about the event. For only $10 admission, you can see the readers, healers, vendors, crystals, clothing, so many things. All lectures are free with the price of admission. So come on in to rhodapsychicfair.com. Get on the email list so you can be notified. Get your discount coupons and come out to the event at the Monterey Fairgrounds October 21st and 22nd. And remember, it's the weekend before Halloween, so we get to welcome Halloween in early. And that's the time when the veils between the worlds are thin, which means only one thing. It's time to have fun. So rhodapsychicfair.com, please take a visit. Here we are in the middle of September already. I've said it most of this year, but this year is running. I can't believe how fast it's going. It's astonishing to me. Now, as most of you know who listen to the show, I love to start with some Day by Day with James Allen. In 1903, James Allen wrote his essay, As a Man Thinketh. He wanted us to know that what our past thoughts, habits, and actions were created our present reality today. Yes, I know we don't like to hear that, but we are responsible for where we are. But James Allen also wanted us to know that our past thoughts and actions don't predict our future. You see, our present thoughts, habits, actions, and beliefs create our future. So every day when we awaken, we have a fresh opportunity to create a new future. And in Day by Day with James Allen, his words have been broken up into a little segment for each day of the month so that we can digest them in smaller little bites. And here we are in the 11th day of the month. And James Allen says the formula for success he conceives of mentally builds up an ideal condition of life. The vision of a wider liberty and a larger scope takes possession of him. Unrest urges him to action, and he utilizes all his spare time and means, small though they are, to the development of his latent powers and resources. Essentially, James Allen is saying what I shared already. He's sharing that when we put our intention, our true focused intention, then we keep working toward it. We keep inching toward it. One of my favorite stories that I know you've heard from me, but it epitomizes the point, is the individual who at the end of a piano concert goes up to the pianist and says, I would give anything to be able to play like you. And the concert pianist says, obviously not. You see, so think of what we do very often in our daily actions. We say, gee, I'd love to do that. And then we forget about it. We go about making dinner, doing the laundry, picking up the dry cleaning, going to work the next day, and we forget that we made that statement. So what James Allen is sharing with us, excuse me, what he's sharing with us is that if that is your real intention, you have to maintain a focus on that. You have to make sure that it's in you. We throw around the words of, I'd love to do that, or I've always wanted to do that, or I wish I could do that. And then we go right back to our couch and potato chips. The true issue is you show what you want to do by what you do. That's all. It's that simple. So if what you want to do is learn to play like that concert pianist, how often are you taking lessons? How often are you practicing? What are you doing? There's a wonderful poem that was in Think and Grow Rich that goes this way. I bargained with life for a penny, and life would pay no more. However, I begged at evening when I counted my scanty store. For life is just an employer. He gives you what you ask, but once you have set the wages, why, you must bear the task. I worked for a menial's hire only to learn dismayed that any wage I had asked of life, life would have willingly paid. The question is, what are you asking of life? If you sit there dissatisfied, disgruntled, and unhappy, what are you doing for you to make yourself gruntled and happy? One of the things I do every day to help set my frame of reference is read from the Daily Word. Now, the Daily Word is put out by Unity Incorporated, and it's a little positive affirmation for each day of the month. And they put them out. You can have them done by email downloads or the little booklets, which I also receive. Then every day there's a little affirmation with a little explanation. And for today, for September 11th, it says, in practicing forgiveness, I open the way for love to follow. The real point there is that when we're not moving forward in our lives, very often we've created some anchors of emotional issues that hold us down. They've become our albatross, like the albatross of the Ancient Mariner from the Rime of the Ancient Mariner, or maybe they've become like cement buckets just filled with cement that weigh us down emotionally. And we go back to those issues and replay them again and again and again, and they become drains in our emotional movement, our ability to move forward emotionally, because we get stuck in the mire of the past. And so when it says, in practicing forgiveness, I open the way for love to follow, we have to look at, have we forgiven ourselves? You see, somebody likes to keep saying, in the metaphysical world, that people keep saying, you created this, whatever happened, you created this. Well, there's a partial truth to that and an actual truth to that. The partial truth is, no matter what happens in my life, I'm responsible. Now, that doesn't mean I made that person do what they did, or I made that person say what they said, or that my great intuitive energy drew those factors into them and made them the little puppet that was going to say to me the thing I needed them to say so I could react. I don't believe that. I do believe that regardless of what occurred, I am responsible. I must take responsibility for what happens in my life, what happens to me, what happens from me. It doesn't really matter. The minute I stop taking that responsibility, I am assigning blame to other people, and blame is external to me. Therefore, I then say, I'm not responsible. I don't have to examine. I don't have to resolve. I don't have to heal anything, because they did it. And that is exactly what this is saying here. Forgive. In practicing forgiveness, I start by forgiving myself, because whatever happened, I'm responsible. At the same time, excuse me, I need to forgive them, because for whatever happened, they're responsible. And I don't forgive myself and say, well, they have to forgive themselves, or they have to apologize, or they have to do anything. There is no they in the criteria except for me to forgive. I forgive myself, because it starts with my responsibility. And I forgive them because they are a component to which I've attached a charge, an emotional charge. And by forgiving, I can release it. So as the Daily Word says today, in practicing forgiveness, I open the way for love to follow. Well, we're going to have a challenging rest of this month with some of the astrological aspects, which I may share some of later. But let us continue by going to our segment for today. Dr. Arnie Buss received an undergraduate degree in psychology at Rutgers University and a PhD from Cornell. He's been teaching at the undergraduate and graduate level for well over 30 years. His passion is facilitating and teaching classes about interpersonal communications. He works with individuals and couples to resolve their interpersonal communication issues. And in the past 7 years, he's given presentations on interpersonal communication skills to a number of organizations from San Francisco to King City in California. He joins us with his segment, Speaking of Listening, on the second Monday of each month. So let's have a musical introduction to Dr. Arnie Buss and his segment, Speaking of Listening.
The song here in my heart, a melody I start but can't complete. Listen to the sound from deep within. It's only beginning to find relief.
And welcome to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar. As he said, I'm your host for this segment, Arnie Buss. Speaking of Listening is about ways of improving your relationships by listening from your heart. And as Solazar was talking about forgiveness, that is one of the most important elements in coming to a place of heart-centered communication. When you're coming to a dialogue, a conversation, the idea is not to hold a grudge, to not be holding on to what happened in the past, to be as fully present to the current communication, the current dialogue, as you possibly can. And the more that a grudge is being held, the more that you're holding on to a resentment from the past, the less likely it is that the interaction is going to be a satisfactory one. And it doesn't matter what the topic is. It doesn't matter how much conflict is involved. If you can come to the communication with an attitude of forgiveness, with an attitude of not holding a grudge, of not holding resentments, then it can improve the relationship. And speaking of listening is about ways of improving your relationships by listening from the heart. And you can contact me about workshops and other things that I offer. You can see my website, which is http://www.consciousawareheart.com. That's all one word, consciousawareheart.com. Or email me at ahbuss, A-H-B-U-S-S, at consciousawareheart.com. And listening is not just about hearing the words that the other person is saying. It's more than that. It's getting to what the underlying messages are, engaging in this dialogue. And the difference between a conversation and a dialogue is one in which a conversation is one that's fairly superficial. You know, you're exchanging information. A dialogue is where you're really sharing more about yourself. And to just so some key concepts that I've talked about previously, kind of before I get into today's topic, you know, I've talked about how we the two places of unconsciousness that we come from are either the judge or the parent, or the victim and the child. And they're actually fairly related because they all have to do with past pains. And when we come from those places, then we find ourselves reacting to what's going on instead of responding. In contrast, what is more effective is to come from the aware heart, in which, again, it's a place of forgiveness. It's a place of not holding on to resentment. It's a place of seeing both the other person and yourself as being okay. It's in a way, you know, in Buddhism they talk about namaste. You know, I honor you, and this is the same kind of idea. Although, you know, I'm not a Buddhist, but I love that concept. And previously, I've talked about some roadblocks to effective communication, you know, things like offering advice or suggestions and solutions, or to interrogate or to analyze and or moralize and judge. And these are all attitudes that get in the way of really finding out what's going on. And today, I want to talk about the most effective way that I have found to engage in this dialogue from a listening standpoint, and that's called tracking. And I've talked about tracking in previous segments, and I want to talk about it more because it is so important. The idea of tracking is that as a listener, you want to focus your entire attention on what the other person is saying. In a way, it's like these communication devices, I think they call them push to talk, where you can either talk or you can listen. And if you push the button and you're talking, then you can't hear what the other person is saying. That's what this is about. In other words, you want to keep your hand off that talk button, and you want to focus the attention on the speaker. That doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to be silent, but it means that all of your attention is focused on what the speaker is talking about. Now, as part of this, if you're listening to someone, you may notice that you have some reactions. And that's perfectly normal. That happens to me. and here's where your conscious part can come into play. And that is to be aware of your reactions, to notice your reactions, and then for the time being, to just put them aside. You know, don't suppress them, don't deny them, but just put them aside. I mean, sometimes I kind of tell the thing that's reacting, you know, why don't you just go over there and hang out for a while? I'll get back to you. You know, don't worry. I'll take care of you. I'll come back to you. But for right now, I want to deal with what's going on here. And that's the idea of trying to stay in your aware heart and to see the other person as okay and to see yourself as okay. It seems to be a truism that you can only see the other person as okay as you see yourself. In other words, if there's something about myself that I'm not okay with, then I can't see you as okay. Because my self-judgment is going to get in the way of being okay with what's going on. Now, so just some specifics of tracking. And the first thing is to only use the pronoun you. Now, this is something that you may have some inner resistance to hearing this, because you may have heard about, well, you want to use I statements, and you don't want to say you, use you statements. So now it's important to understand that when I say only use the pronoun you, I'm not saying that you should use it in a you statement. There is a huge difference between using the pronoun you and what a you statement is. A you statement is accusatory. A you statement is judgmental. A you statement is pointing the finger at the other person. But that doesn't mean that the pronoun you is something that needs to be expunged. In fact, to the contrary, it's the most effective one if you use it in the context of tracking. And when you're tracking, that is the only pronoun that you use. And again, this is kind of at the beginning levels. I mean, once you have tracking as a as a facile approach, then worrying about the pronouns, which pronouns you're using, you just kind of forget about all that, because if you stay in your heart, you don't have to worry so much about that. But at first, this was true of myself when I was learning this, and seems to be true of most people when I am teaching them, that forcing yourself to only use the pronoun you is an effective way to at least kind of get you on the right track. In other words, avoid any other pronoun that involves anybody other than the speaker, such as you don't want to say I, you know, or me or mine, even us or we or our, anything which kind of includes them, that's try to avoid those. Why? Because you want all of the energy and all of the focus to be on the speaker. And when you say I or me, then you're putting the emphasis on you, the listener. And you want to be actually as invisible as possible. You want to create a space, an environment in which the other person is more free to express what's going on. And that is greatly facilitated if you use the pronoun you effectively, and you'll see some examples of this. Now, another boilerplate, if you will, that is useful when starting to learn this, but is something which you may want to expunge later as you become more facile with it, is to start responding with the word so or so you. That I find these to be, I call these magic words. And what's magic about them is that they help guide the tracking response. So if you are not sure what to say, and you sort of say, so you, and then continue with whatever you can make fit, then that guides you in the right direction. Now, you don't want to, having said that, you don't want to make it very stilted. So you don't want to draw it out. Like I noticed that just, you don't want to say, so you. You want to make it kind of, so you. Yeah, and with practice, you can expand to other things. In fact, it becomes kind of repetitious if you keep saying so. On the other hand, my experience has been that when you really get into the groove, then it actually, that doesn't matter whether you use it or don't use it. Ideally, you want to make it as conversational as possible. And in other words, you don't want to give the impression that you're using some technique on them. And I know that this may sound like it's a technique, but it really is more than a technique. It's not, I don't really see it as a technique. It's a way of being. It's a way of being with the other person. And the mechanics of tracking simply provide a framework, a structure for this kind of interaction. Now, words and phrases that I think would be best avoided, or any, again, anything with the pronoun I. So say, well, I hear you say, or what I'm hearing you say, or if I hear you right, things like that. The thing is, it's not that those are terrible. It's just that they are not really necessary. Instead of saying, so what I hear you say, just cut that out and start with what you're hearing them say. And another, particularly if things are a little bit heated, the phrase "I understand" turns out to be like throwing gasoline on a fire. It's not effective because, especially if the other person is feeling some angst, the thing is that to have someone else say that they understand. I mean, most of us, when we're in that space, our first reaction is, "You don't understand anything." So, and in general, things like that, again, direct attention back to you and put the focus on you. So if you say, "I understand," then in a way the speaker is saying, well, does he understand? Does she understand? And that's not where you want the speaker to be communicating from. You want the speaker to be moving into their aware heart so that what they're communicating to you is getting in touch with what's really going on. Now, some key points. Again, this all comes down to attitude. Never make anybody wrong. And that means not making the speaker wrong, not making yourself wrong, and not making even anyone else wrong. Even if they're complaining about someone, you don't want to jump into that pit with them and play "Ain't They Awful?" Because that, you know, even if they are awful, if you play that game with them, then it doesn't help the other person kind of move beyond what's really bothering them. In other words, if somebody did something and I'm feeling upset about that, that upset is mine. The upset is all within me. And the more that I focus or have somebody focus the energy on that other person, the less it's focused on what's really going on, which is all inside me, 100%. So what this means is to go back to what Solazar was talking about and what I was mentioning in the beginning, avoiding, you know, judging, blaming, and criticizing. I mean, that's all, you know, gets overcome by forgiveness, by letting go. And this includes yourself. And you want to avoid making yourself a target, even if you hear criticism. Because again, making somebody wrong, even if it's making yourself wrong, it does not help the other person. Now, I've spent several segments in the past on how to respond to criticism in particular, and that's not what I'm going to talk about today with tracking. Today, I want to focus on a situation about how do you track when you're not the target. Okay, so here's something that's important, is to pay attention to the operative words. And what do I mean by an operative word? Usually in something that somebody says, if it's got a charge to it, there's a key word or phrase that just kind of captures the essence of that angst. Two words to really watch out for are always and never. Now, just to go on a little bit of a tangent here, the words always and never have very specific literal meanings. Always means always, meaning that something is happening all the time. Never means it never happens. It doesn't happen at all. When people use these words, they never mean them literally. They always mean them figuratively. In other words, if somebody says, "You're always late," if you've ever been on time, even just once, then that statement is logically false because you haven't always been late. If you've been late 99 times and on time once, then "you're always late" is a false statement. That's logically false. However, if you get caught up in arguing the logic or the semantics of that, then you're going to get in the way of hearing the message. Because what they're really expressing, if they say "you're always late," is something else. So here are a couple ways you could track that. You're always late. So you feel you've been kept waiting too many times. Or so you've been kept waiting more times than you feel comfortable with. Or you can kind of go right to the want. You say, so you want to be assured that all appointments will be kept on time and that you can count on it. So you see how you cut through the logic of it and get to the heart of what they're expressing. Because always and never are just used as exaggerations, as emphasis. I mean, it's kind of like these days, people use the word literally to mean figuratively. It's interesting how the language always changes. I mean, here's another example. You know, we never go out. Well, if you've ever gone out one time, it may have been a one time in 10 years, it's still logically false because it's not never. So what's the message? What's the underlying message behind we never go out? It could be any one of a number of things. So one response might be, you know, so you've been missing the time that we spend together or the time spent together and leave the we out. Or you might say, so you want to do more things together. Something like, you know, in other words, get to what the message is. But that hidden, you know, what's interesting, particularly about these, is that the message is not contained in any of the words. So the message behind we never go out is something like I'm missing the connection. I'm missing spending quality time together. That's not in any we never go out. There are four words there. The message isn't in any of them. And as I've often said, the message is often not in the words themselves, but what lies underneath the words. And the reason why tracking is so valuable is that it helps you get to what that underlying message is. Now, tracking, when I teach tracking, it has a little bit more of a structure as well that sometimes is useful. And that structure is called the four W's. And the four W's are what the speaker said, why did the speaker say it, what the speaker feels, and what the speaker wants. Now, the first W, the what the speaker says, is only used if the message is long or unclear. So if you hear a really long message and you want to make sure that you have it, then you want to paraphrase as briefly as possible what it is that they're saying, just to make sure that you're both on the same page. However, if it's clear what they're saying, so for example, you know, you're always late, you want to skip over the what. Now, why did the speaker say it? So what we're trying to get here, that's the second W, is to identify what the speaker's internal process is. So for example, you know, just some examples in a generic context, you know, so that caught you by surprise, or, you know, you're always late. So you're not okay with that. That's been going on and you're not okay with it. Or something happened, you know, so you're confused about why that happened and you want to understand. So that's the second W. The third W, the what the speaker feels, is now this is kind of tricky. You want to be careful not to overshoot feelings. You want to avoid mind reading. And what's helpful, particularly when you're talking about negative feelings or very intense feelings, is that you actually want to slightly undershoot a bit. You know, just as a general rule of thumb, never tell an angry person that they're angry. If you've ever done that, it just tends to increase the temperature a bit. But you know, so you might say something. You know, so you're feeling sad about that. In fact, you leave the word feeling out. So you're sad about that. So you're discouraged about what happened, or so you felt criticized when you heard that. Now, the thing is that when you're tracking, you want to stick with those middle two, with that, you know, why do they say it and what they're feeling, until the speaker looks up. And what's a look up? It's kind of hard to describe, but there's actually almost a physical release of energy when they really feel that the listener, you, has gotten what they're about. And until they look up, you keep, you know, going with the why and the what. But when they look up, it means that they have a readiness to move to resolution. And then by then, you've figured out what it is that they want. And either they figured it out or you can validate the fact that they've figured it out, or you can help them see what that is. So you might say something like, you know, so you're ready to resolve this. Or so you want to make sure that, you know, X, Y, Z, or you know, so you want to be assured that everything will be kept on time, as we said before. So here's some examples. So the first one is, you know, a friend says, I was just passed over for a raise. Now here are some responses that have a good heart, but aren't effective. So don't reassure them. So you say, well, oh, I'm sure you'll get it next time. That isn't helpful. Don't make them wrong. I mean, don't make the other person wrong. You can make the, you know, their boss wrong. You know, your boss just doesn't appreciate you. That's making them wrong. That's helping dig a pit that this other guy is going to get stuck in. Don't escalate. You know, so I was passed over for a raise. Well, why don't you just quit? Or you should just quit. You know, don't try to fix or give advice. Or, well, you know, I think you ought to talk to your boss about it. And certainly don't hijack. I mean, have you ever been hijacked by someone who, you know, there was a character that Kristen Wiig played on Saturday Night Live, where every time somebody said something, she would kind of one-up them, you know. So you say, well, let me tell you how many times I've been passed over. Again, that isn't very helpful. So how could you track? Well, you know, there are a number of different tracking responses that are effective. So, you know, I was passed over for a raise. You say, well, so you were expecting a raise this time. Or so you're disappointed that you didn't get it, kind of go to the feeling. Or so you're confused as to why that didn't happen. I personally like the last one. Just take a little note about the difference between identifying the feeling or identifying the feeling in kind of a generic way. I find things like confused or you want to understand a little bit more leading to having the person tell you what the feeling is. In other words, it's better to undershoot a little bit than to overshoot. So, you know, so you were confused as to why you didn't get there. You know, confused, I was furious. That was, you know, they promised me that. You know, so that's, so get him to, you know. So it did upset you because you were expecting it. Now, it's interesting how a single word can make a big difference. So they say the same thing. I was passed over for a raise again. Okay. Remember I talked about operative words. Again is the operative word here. Okay. Because in the first one, we don't know how many times it's happened. That may be the first time. It may be the 10th. It wasn't said. But when he says again, okay, that really shows that word again is the one that should pop out to you. And again, some tracking responses, the most gentle is, you know, so you were expecting it this time. Or so you feel a raise is long overdue. And you might get down to, you know, so you're not feeling appreciated because of this. or even to the want. So you want to get the pay that you feel that you deserve. Again, all of these are slightly different, and it depends on, how should I say, like you need to really be paying attention to their tone of voice, to their body language, to their facial expressions, and choose one that matches that. In other words, if they're kind of down in energy, then, you know, some of the early ones, like, so you were expecting at this time, is more appropriate. If there was more anger or more angst about it, then some of the later ones, you know, so you're not feeling appreciated, or you feel you deserve this. Or, okay, here's another example. Your spouse comes home from work. I say, I can't believe what so-and-so did today. Now, again, you don't want to make the other person wrong. You don't want, oh, what a jerk. And you don't want to fix them or offer advice. Oh, you know, you ought to just tell them off. You ought to tell them, give them what for. Now, if they say, you know, again, I can't believe what they did today, they haven't said what they did. So what do you want to do? You want to ask them, so what happened? Okay, but as I've mentioned in other segments, that, you know, that's not terrible. In fact, many people advocate asking questions, but when you're tracking, it's best not to pose things as questions, but pose them as what I call gentle probes, which are a questioning statement that you speak as a statement. So instead of saying what happened, say, so something happened that wasn't okay with you, or so something happened that really got your goat. So that's a gentle probe, and I've talked about that in other segments, and I will talk about that more in future segments. So, or your friend might say, you know, I had a fight with my brother and now we're not talking. Okay, here's some tracking results, you know, so this was a really bad one. Or so that was worse than the other conflicts that you've had. Or perhaps, you know, so something happened that got you so upset. Now, interestingly, there's a gentle challenge that you could give here, and you say, well, now we're not talking, and you might say, and you're okay with that for now, and you're okay with not talking. And notice I said for now, because I don't want to, what I want to do with that response is I want to kind of give a, you know, give almost like kind of a rope, a way out. So you're okay with that for now. And that's a gentle challenge. And I've talked about that in other segments. I say, well, no, I'm not okay with it. Ah. So then you'd like to see it resolved, but you haven't found a way yet. Or you might, you know, an old standby is, you know, so, you know, I had a fight with my brother and we're not talking, you know, so that caught you by surprise that it got so bad. So those are various ways of tracking, to focus attention on the speaker, to notice your reactions and put them aside for the time being, to not make anybody wrong, to only use the pronoun you, avoiding I, me, us, we, our. And in the beginning, start your response with so or so you, and to make as conversational as possible, and especially to notice the operative words. That does it for this segment. You have been listening to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar. I've been your host, Arnie Buss. I so appreciate you listening to me today. You can hear Speaking of Listening every second Monday at a little after 5 right here on Good Vibrations Radio. To learn more about effective listening and more in workshops and effective communication and relationship building, you can email me at ahbuss@consciousawareheart.com. That's all one word. Visit my website at www.consciousawareheart.com, where I've listed some material, and I also post audios of the various segments, My Facebook is AwareHeart, all one word. And my Twitter, which I occasionally use, is Effect5Com. That's the word effect, the number 5, C-O-M-M, all at one. And until next time, remember, listen with your heart.
You should have listened. There is someone here inside. Someone I thought had died so long ago.
So that was Dr. Arne Buss speaking of listening, and as you heard him, you can reach him through ConsciousAwareHeart.com. Although I have to admit, I'm disappointed that he doesn't wake up at 3 a.m. and Twitter all over the place like some people do, but maybe that's because Dr. Buss has a job during the day. So I want to thank him once again for sharing Speaking of Listening right here in our communication guidelines on Good Vibrations Radio on the second Monday of each month. So I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I was going to touch a little bit on some of the astrological aspects that we're going to see going forward, but actually I'm going to start by going backward. We all know, of course, we had that beautiful full solar eclipse on August 21st, and to remind everyone that that created a transformational energy that's going on for at least 6 months or more, and we're all going to be going through that. And we had a couple of things. On September 5th, Mercury went direct in Leo. Mercury retrogrades are recurring and constant, but it went direct in Leo. And I want to point that out because that was last Tuesday. And next, this week, actually, it's going to move into Virgo. And that's going to shift a lot of that energy. So we had that fire energy of Leo when it went direct. And it's been moving forward since then, and it's moving its way into Virgo. We'll touch on that in a moment. We had our full moon last week also in Pisces. Now, the importance of that full moon is that it was building off the energy of that full moon solar eclipse from August 21st. So full moons always release our emotional vulnerabilities, and this one was particularly powerful. See, the key with full moon emotions is that they're always. And I heard what Dr. Buss said about always, but this isn't always. Full moon emotions are always overblown. Full moons are the culmination of everything we feel, every wound, every shame, every hurt, every thumb prick that we've turned into an emotionally broken arm. So when we couple that emotional release with the sensitive energy of Pisces on last week's full moon, that was a potent two Kleenex boxes of a full moon. So, but the energy of this moon following that solar eclipse is demanding that you do the inner work that's required to continue your inner transformation demanded by the solar eclipse. We have Pluto, Uranus, Chiron, and Neptune still retrograde. And the greatest work you have to do right now is your internal healing and transformation. Add the push from the solar eclipse, the internal emotional sensitivity of last week's full moon in Pisces, and you have your roadmap for where you need to focus your attention going forward. So when we take a look at what even Dr. Buss was talking about with some of our emotional connections or our reactions or how we're communicating with others, this is the time when we need to be looking at ourselves. Only in the mirror can we fix and resolve what's going on external to us. So this is the time for the big clean out that you've been avoiding, and that includes people. If you've been struggling about what to do, then release it and don't look back. If it involves people, release them with love, with gratitude for what they've shared, but release. So it's a breathe, release period. Now, on the 9th, as I mentioned earlier, Mercury's going into Virgo. So Mercury likes Virgo, actually. He loves the OCD nature of Virgo, the fussiness, the details, the need for structure. And you might find yourself micromanaging people You might find yourself being micromanaged. But nonetheless, this is a good time to get things done with that energy of Virgo that wants the details taken care of, wants the structure. Suck it up. Just do the work. Use this energy to tackle all the mundane and necessary things you've been putting off. Writing, by the way, speaking, presentations, job interviews, you will be at your best. If you have a sales pitch to make, you will be top-notch starting on the 9th. And again, it's going to make that move 7:52 p.m. Pacific time, which is 10:52 p.m. Eastern time. So this move of Mercury into Virgo is going to be good for all those things. Do the details, tidy up, and relief is coming. On the 12th, September 12th, which is tomorrow. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. The 9th was Saturday. I apologize. Shows where I am. The 12th, which is tomorrow, Venus and Leo, our planet of love, harmony, beauty, and balance, will trine Saturn in Sagittarius. And Saturn likes rules and order and deadlines and being consistent. So with this trine, a trine is a karmic connection. It's previously planned. This is a perfect day to talk out any problems or concerns you have. With Saturn driving the train, with Venus riding, almost anything is possible. Progress is possible. The key is you have to be willing to do the work for it. It's also a good day to expand your gratitude for what you already have. Put the checkbook away. You don't need to buy more to be grateful. You have to be grateful for what's already there. Be grateful. Show appreciation. It's a good day for progress on all fronts. Then the 16th, which is Saturday, Venus in Leo will sextile Jupiter in Libra. Now, these are the two most beneficent planets we have in our solar system, Venus and Jupiter. So they're going to be playing nice with each other. Only good things can happen on Saturday, starting 12:44 p.m. Pacific, which would be 3:44 p.m. Eastern. It's also a day of exceptionally good taste, sharing, having fun. You don't need to buy again because you'll appreciate what you have. If you let yourself enjoy this day, it can be light and breezy, a fun day. It's not a good day to force yourself to be emotionally wrapped up in anything. And then on Sunday, which will actually be Monday morning on the East Coast, but Sunday at 9:27 p.m., Venus in Leo will trine Uranus in Aries. Now, again, trines are karmic connections. They're pre-planned and they're intended to resolve karmic obligations. So in this transit, Venus, our planet of love, beauty, and harmony, is walking hand in hand with Uranus, which is our planet of change and revolution and rebellion. If you're in a relationship, you'll add something new to the mix. This is not the breakup of relationships. It's really adding new layers. If you're single, you might find a temporary playmate, the emphasis on temporary. But it's a day of trying new things. It's a creative day. So explore your uniqueness and your uniqueness in all your relationships. That's what I see coming up for this, for the past. And this week, leading into next week's show. So I want to remind everybody, it's a good time to always work on healing yourself. We've talked many times about the process of healing through the use of prayer and affirmations. I want to remind you once again that the work required for all of us starting from this solar eclipse forward is all internal. It's not external. If you want to change your outside world, you've got to change the inside world first. As we shared at the beginning, he conceives of, mentally builds up an ideal condition of life. The vision of a wider liberty and a larger scope take possession of him. Unrest urges him to action, and he utilizes all his spare time and means, small though they are, to the development of his latent powers, and resources. I worked for a menial's hire, only to learn dismayed that any wage I had asked of life, life would have willingly paid. Pay yourself and your life all that you can going forward this week into next week. Make sure you turn the lead in your life into gold. I want to thank you for listening to Good Vibrations Radio. We'll be back next Monday, 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific Time, with Joyce Day Muse sharing your lucky stars, the astrological output for the rest of the month and for the month of October. Thank you once again for listening. Many blessings. Namaste.